Well, about 3,000 years ago, a poet penned the line, inspired by God, Psalm 125, verse 2. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. And the psalmist at that time, you know, consider the mountains, looking at the mountains around Jerusalem. And they look down onto Jerusalem. Those mountains are higher than the mountain of Jerusalem. And he got inspired. It's like, just like those mountains are around this city, so the Lord is around his people. Think about the mountains. Think about them. And maybe little did he know that about 1,000 years later, this man called Jesus the Savior would be on those very mountains doing things. And we're looking at what Jesus did on the mountains. What was different about him? When I was in graduate school, there was a man called, his name was Milošević from Serbia. And when I was in grad school, I just wanted to tell my friends about Jesus. I wanted to tell them about Jesus. And I talked to Miloš, and he definitely was not a Christian. And he read a lot of philosophy. He's a physicist. And so I was looking for a way to talk to Miloš about Jesus. He was interested in talking about it. And I would try, and a lot of my friends, try to tell them, even though it wasn't my job. Lois, it wasn't my job. I wasn't getting paid for it. But I wanted to tell my friends about Jesus. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I had this idea. There's a mountain in New Hampshire called Mount Washington. It's the highest mountain east of the Mississippi. And there's a railroad that goes up, and you can also hike up that mountain. And so it was 4 hours from Boston, the drive, 4 hours. And so this was my plan. 4 hour drive there, 5 hour hike up to the top of the mountain, 5 hour hike down, 4 hours back. Wow. That's 18 hours. 18 hours. One stop at Burger King. 18 hours of talking to Miloš about Jesus. So I went to the mountain. And while we were on top of that mountain, you know, it's kind of like you're out of your environment and you're out of your daily life. We weren't thinking about school. We weren't thinking about the lab. We were just enjoying the fresh air, enjoying the scenery. And it's severe up there. It's severe. If you get caught, there's no trees on the top. If you get caught on the top, you know, it's dangerous even. It can be a quick storm. And you just kind of like think about something different. You're out of everyday life. I don't know to this day if Miloš is a Christian. But I remember about a year later, after I went with him in that hike, I saw him and I smiled. I was like, "Hi, Miloš." And I asked, "Are you a Christian yet?" Because he knew I was like, you know. He's like, "No." But I don't know. But we were on a mountain and we got to talk about the Lord. And a lot of times, that's what people need. You need to get up, out. And you see Jesus. And that's what we're kind of following here. And there's one scene that we want to talk about today. It's a scene of Jesus on the mountain. And I'd like to describe that to you. You know, one time, Jesus was at a place called Tyre. It was a city far off to the north west, and you know, way out of the land of Canaan, way out of the good land. And he spoke to a Gentile there, and he came back to the regions of Galilee. That's northern, you know, the northern area of his ministry. And he was, you know, kind of like entering back into the land, and walking by the sea. And then he decided to go up to a high mountain. by the Sea of Galilee. And then people heard of this place there where he was at. And they began to bring people to him. And it wasn't like, you know, sick people heard Jesus was there. It was like the friends of sick people heard that Jesus was there on that mountain. And so, you know, he stood there. He stayed there on the mountain. It was apart from the city, apart from the hustle and bustle of life. And people began to think, well, I have this lame friend. I have a crippled friend. I have a blind friend. I have a mute, a dumb friend. And they brought their friends up to the mountain, to a high place, to be with Jesus. To be with Jesus. And Jesus began to touch them on the top of the mountain. And the crippled began to be healed. And the lame began to walk. And the mute, when they touched Jesus, they began to speak. And the blind began to see. And the people that brought all of these people, they saw this change in the people's lives that were touched by Jesus. And they just said this, I just praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord. I don't know if you've ever seen a change in a person's life. I've seen changes in people's life. I am a person who has been changed, actually. But I've seen changes in people's life. And, you know, you see that change in their life, and it's like, glory to God. Praise the Lord. I don't know how that happened, but praise the Lord. And this was going on for 3 days. 3 days. And it was a wilderness place. It was a high place. It was a remote place. 3 days. And after 3 days, Jesus began to think about brought this up, his feeling about the crowd. And is like, you know what? This crowd has been with me for 3 days. And we don't have any special provision up here. No special provision for food. And he began to be concerned about the crowd. Wow, when you go back, you may collapse on the way back. On the way back. And so Jesus brought this up to the disciples around him. And they asked him, hey, how are we going to get bread in this remote place for this 4,000 men plus women and children with this small city up there with Jesus on the mountain, on the clear space? And, you know, and as I tell the story, I'd like you to note, nobody asked him for food. He told them they needed food. He told them they needed food. And so then he tells the disciples, you know, how are we going to, they need food, he says. And then the disciples say, hey, how are we going to buy food for this many people in this remote place? Jesus looks at his disciples and says this, so how much do you have? What do you have? What do you have? And the disciples, there were 12 of them, you know, 12 close ones, called apostles. They took an accounting. How much do we have? And they said, well, we have 7 loaves and a few small fish. Now, if you think about that, they had 7 loaves and a few small fish, and there are 12 disciples. And so, I don't even know if that is enough food for a day. You know, if all you have is a loaf, then maybe they can feed. Maybe you could eat half a loaf of bread and 3-inch fish. I don't know how long. Maybe that would last you a day. But there's 12 of them. And so you realize these disciples did not even have enough, maybe for themselves. And so Jesus took them. And he asked the crowds all to sit down on the mountain. To sit down. And he took the loaves and the fish and he gave thanks to the Father. I like that scene. He took the loaves. Like, how much do you have? Okay, we just have this little bit. And you know, he took the little bit that they had. And looking at the, you know, considering the vast crowd, looking at, I have 7 loaves, a few small fish. And you know what Jesus did? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And he broke the loaves. Broke the loaves. And he began to give the loaves to his disciples. And then the disciples would begin to distribute them to the people. And he gave and they distributed. 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 Until 4,000 men were fed, plus all the women and children. And they all ate and were satisfied. All. Even including those disciples. I don't know if they would have eaten before with 7 loaves and a few small fish. I don't know if they would have eaten and been satisfied. But you know, even the disciples ate and were satisfied. And then the disciples went around and they picked up 7 basketfuls of bread that had been left over. It was enough for the whole crowd. Enough to have extra. Well, let me tell you, this is a picture of the Lord Jesus on the mountain. And I'd like to just portray this so that we could not only see this picture in, you know, in the Bible, read about it, but when we experience Jesus and when we know Jesus and when we find Jesus, and when we have Him in our life, we could see that Jesus is just this kind of person. Just this kind of person. He does it in our lives. He will repeat this miracle in us, in the people around us. I would say these are lessons of life, the divine life. If you look at Jesus, Jesus said, I am the life. The life. I am the life. What does that mean? I have come that they may have life and may have it abundantly. What does that mean? Well, a lot of the meaning of what life is portrayed in this little picture. Number one. Life heals. Number one. First lesson. Life heals. He heals. It's not a healing that I'm talking about that is mainly physical. There is physical healing. But I'm not talking about that right now. But people are broken. People are broken. You're broken inside. Amen. You're broken. Some broken people know what they need to do, what they need, how they should look after they're fixed. What they need to fix. They know what they need to fix. But how to be fixed inwardly? How to be fixed in your soul? I like that. Lover of my soul. Shepherd and overseer of your soul. Why do people react a certain way? Because they're broken inside. Why are people so full of anxiety, don't know how to deal with situations. They're broken inside. Why do people's priorities get so askew? They're broken inside. And it's almost like you're broken to the point where you can't see right. See rightly. One sister, I don't see her. Where's my wife? Oh, there. Hi, Rose. Praise the Lord. I'm broken. What did I say? You can't see? Can I give you a TV testimony? Okay. Just experience of like, you know, sometimes in life, like you're watching a lot of TV and then you just realize like, wow, I'm watching a lot of TV and then why are we living for God? There's a question. Why are we living for God? If you watch so much TV, try to figure out why you're living for God. And it's like, it doesn't make any sense. What are we doing? But you read the Bible. I don't know if this is clear at all. Anyway, you read the Bible. Oh, yeah. Okay, can you explain? Okay.
So I ended up watching, I don't think it was a whole lot of TV, but I don't usually watch a lot anyway, so it was more than I was used to. And so I was just getting a lot of secular input is the bottom line and not really having a lot of spiritual growth because I couldn't be with the brothers and sisters that much, and reading the Bible just gave me a headache. So when you have that kind of one-sided input, your thinking changes because you just have a lot of worldly stuff coming into you but not much of stuff of God. And I literally started to think, like, why am I a Christian and why am I married to a pastor? And, well, I knew why I was married to a pastor because I love him, but why were we giving our lives to something that seemed kind of odd? Like, just, it's just weird.
So. Yeah, that's good.
Is that what you wanted?
Yeah. Well, you touch Jesus and it changes. Yeah. And all of a sudden, the blinding just goes away. That's the life of Jesus. And, you know, he heals, but he doesn't just heal. He also feeds. And I like this story. People did not even know they were hungry. They're not like, Jesus, we want to be fed. It's Jesus that pointed out, you're hungry. You know, when I am hungry, I just don't think correctly. If you want to experience the bad side of somebody, just wait till they're hungry and interact with them. You know, lose a few meals, you know, and then it's very easy to just, oh, you get grumpy. You know, things are just not right, you know, and, you know, when you think about Christians, I'm talking about not physical food, but spiritual food. Think about Christians. You know, today, oh, how many Christians are hungry? A lot of Christians are hungry. This is what happens when you're hungry. You have no energy for God. This is what happens when you're hungry. The church is going to do something and you have no energy to be in it. I talked to this guy in Columbus. He's like, oh, I think this is a pastor in Columbus, and he's like, oh, I think there's a problem because most Christians are not serving these days. You know, that's what he said. Most Christians are not serving these days. You know what the problem is? They're starving. Starving. It's kind of like one of those things where the Lord wants to speak to somebody, wants to, you know, have a word spoken by a believer to one other person. And then he's like, speak. And then there's just like this emaciated group of Christians. Like, I can't do anything. I can't even take care of myself. I'm hungry. How can I speak to that person? You're in the office and that golden opportunity finally comes up. And the person is like sitting next to you And they finally say, you know, I just wonder, what is the meaning of life? And then you're like, and then you're a Christian, and you're like, and if you're hungry, it's like, I don't know. But if you're fed, you're like, it's Jesus, and this is what he did to me this morning. It's a big difference. The Lord just noticed, oh, you know what these people need? They need food. It's funny. They were in all kinds of blessing, and they saw, wow, this lame person is not walking, this deaf person, or this blind person is not seeing, all that kind of stuff. But Jesus saw a little bit beyond. Wait a minute. You're on the verge of collapse. That's what Jesus saw with this whole crowd. You know, you're healed, you're well, you've seen the miracle, but you're on the verge of collapsing. If I send you home, you're going to have no strength. You know what? He needed to feed them. Needed to feed them. You know, with Joey, with Thomas, these babies, little babies, the most important thing is feed and then take care of whatever comes out, you know? Feed. Feed. And when the Lord looks at us, the most important thing is, are you fed? Are you fed? And take care of whatever comes out. Like sometimes we feel like, yeah, this is my job. Lord feeds, and then I'll take care of whatever comes out. Just come on over, throw up on me, whatever. Yeah. So what I'm here for? I'm here for you. But the feeding happened in a really interesting way. Number one, how can you be fed by the Lord? Number one, it was through these disciples. So sometimes the feeding does not take place just with you and the Lord. It takes place with the disciples. So, you know, the Lord brought this up. Hey, Rachel, Delvon needs something to eat. And then you're like, well, how can I feed Delvon? Then the Lord's answer is, what you got? Yeah, that's it. I'll take this little bit of thing. And then the Lord's like, thank you, Father. That's the scene, right? Yeah, that's the scene. Oh, wow, Rachel has a crumb. Thank you, Father. And then, boom. Here, Rachel, give this to Delvon. And then give this to Delvon. And then give this to Delvon. And then, Delvon, how did you get fed by Jesus in that interaction right there?